This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. This is Resource Center. I'm Maya Tan. We're on part two of our conversation on e-commerce myths. These are the most common myths that e-commerce retailers have that are not necessarily true. And here to debunk these myths are CK Wong, co-founder of e-commerce Milo, and Qingyi Fu, CEO of Tricor Sanity. Welcome back.
Hi.
Okay, so last week we spoke about three myths. Number one is that e-commerce is easy and there's a very relatively low cost. Not true. Number two, people understand e-commerce automatically. Not true. There are a lot of intricacies involved. And the third myth that we covered is that e-commerce setup is really easy, when in fact there are lots of things to look at, lots of questions to ask yourself, such as what kind of user experience you're providing, what sort of payment channels are you providing, is your shipping fee reasonable, and what about fulfillment setup and efficiency. So today we're going to continue with your list of myths. E-commerce is eating into your retail.
Oh, this I think this is my favorite myth out of all, because a lot, especially a few years ago, right? Retail business, they are very worried about e-commerce, and they think that e-commerce is going to eat their business, right? And you know, they will see e-commerce as their competitors, right? But I guess right now not so, because there are a lot of educations going on, right? There are a lot of developments in the market, right? And retail start to realize that, hey, e-commerce is perhaps their new expansion, their new business. So I'm glad that this happened, right? And because e-commerce right now is just 1% of the total retail transaction, right, in Malaysia. And we are still far behind some much more developed countries, right? Let's say in other countries, in, you know, Japan, Korea, even Taiwan, Europe, US, probably that percentage is like a few percent or more than 10% of retail. That's really huge. Mm-hmm. And I guess retailers also, they might realize this part. You know, when this 1% grow to that 10%, there's a big market there.
Right.
You know, right now you're talking just 1%.
Right. Yeah. Well, you know, what's a good reason for a retailer with a successful brick and mortar store to go into e-commerce? What's a good reason to go into e-commerce then?
I would say that e-commerce enable new markets, new audience, right? And you might, you know, for example, you only have outlets in Klang Valley, you might not be able to reach out to East Malaysia or even Kelantan, Terengganu. So e-commerce is the one that, you know, enable you to reach out to these potential customers.
I noticed that there are a lot of chain stores that have an e-commerce option in Malaysia. For example, brands like Topshop. So do you know how they're faring with e-commerce? Well, I guess they contribute to the 1%, as you say, right?
Yeah, I think a lot, I don't think we have the data necessarily on how each individual e-commerce business is doing, but I think that a lot of people are venturing into it precisely because of the 1%, and the potential for upside is huge. Mm-hmm. So why not venture into it now rather than wait until it has already... Yeah, all the competitors are in the market, and then you go, okay, maybe it's time, maybe that's too late.
Yeah.
Right, so there's great potential there. And apart from retailers with a brick and mortar store venturing into e-commerce, what are the different areas of potential?
Well, one of the more recent interesting ones that I heard was that there's a lot of apps that allow you to request for a doctor to come to your house. There's quite a number out there.
Bookdog.com.
Yeah, Bookdog and a few others that I've heard. I think they're also doing a lot of Facebook advertisements and stuff like that. So what happens is that they are tapping into the large number of locum or doctors who are on contract, who are available to visit patients' houses. And also the demand, of course, for maybe elderly patients or invalid patients who cannot travel to the clinic. So creating this app offers this transaction point to take place between the doctors and the patients who require the services.
So there's a whole different spectrum on mobile as well, right?
Yes.
So in terms of mobile apps, that also make up that whole e-commerce sector.
Yeah, I guess you can look at it one way, which is the traditional retail going online model as one. And I guess the other type would be to come up with a whole new business model that actually disrupts or be able to make connection to two previously not reachable supply and demand, just like the doctors and the patients. So the supply and demand were there, just that they were not able to reach out to each other before. And now that we have this app, that connection is made.
There's one important point for that number four, right? Whereas in retail, right, they always have the traditional team protecting their own. We always see this in retail, lah.
Right. Yeah. So it's conflicts between the traditional brick and mortar team and the e-commerce team, because now they feel they're in competition.
Correct.
Right. So what happens there?
Okay. So I guess in retail, right, you have an existing team. Let's say, be it in merchandising, be it in marketing team, and they are used to, you know, the retail way. And, you know, they have been doing that for years. And suddenly when you have an e-commerce unit or a new e-commerce team came into the picture, I always see that there are conflicts between these two particular teams, right? Mm. I mean, not two particular teams, the new team and the old team, right? And for the new team, when they need to execute something, definitely they need support from the existing team. Let's say merchandising, let's say marketing, they definitely need support from the existing team. But in a lot of ways that I see it, this does not happen. They do not get full support, right? They, you know, the existing team, the old team, they might worry that, you know, this is their competitors, you know, cannibalizing their existing, you know, business. I think the solution for this scenario would be coming from top down.
Right.
Yeah. So the management or the bosses, they need to come straight down and they have to really explain to the team that, you know, why we are doing e-commerce and why it's going to benefit everyone in the company. So, yeah, it has to come from the boss, I think, and the management team. Yeah.
Right. Mm. Okay, what's the next myth?
Misunderstood strength of doing e-commerce. Yeah, so the next one would be like, you know, when retailers start e-commerce or anyone, they might think that e-commerce is all about price war, mm-hmm. right? And when you shop online, it's all about buying, you know, cheaper items, you know, things like that. But in fact, I guess for retailers, this is not just about price war, I guess, right? And it's about extending your catalog online, right? Because the very big advantage online has over offline is the unlimited shelf space. Right. In, say, specific stores, your outlet, your brick and mortar, maybe you can only fit in like a few thousand of SKUs, right, in any shops.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you're paying rental for that. And for online, you can list as many as you can, thousands, hundreds of thousands or millions.
I mean, you still have to pay for each added page, right? The setup of each added page.
Not really, actually. It's just the maintenance will be higher.
Right.
Right. Depends on what kind of system that you're using. And in most cases, you are not limited to the number of products that you're going to list online.
Mm.
So, you know, when you have more products online, then you actually have the long tail advantage. Right. So if we are talking about long tail, right, for any brick and mortars, maybe they will have the hit products, you know, on their outlet, right, on their physical stores, because they have limited shelf space. They can only list or put out, you know, limited products, hit products. But for online, you can actually list a lot of long tail products, those not so hit products, but they are still demand, right? Give you an example. Let's say there are hundreds of hit products where you have a lot of transactions, but you might also have, let's say, 10,000 of non-hit products. But if, let's say, out of these non-hit products, 10,000, there's one order each, there's a lot of orders also. Right?
Sure.
Yeah.
So it kind of offers more opportunities for sales.
Correct.
But for me, I think having too much choice in an online store is a put-off. For me, I don't go to the large retailers where they have, you know, you just want to buy a pair of sandals and you have to look through 5,000 pairs of sandals. For me, that's a put-off because I lose interest after 200 pairs, because I don't have a sense of control. If I choose something out of this 200 pairs, there might be something better in the remaining 4,800 pairs that I have not looked at. So I go, you know what, I'm just going to go to a different store and I'm just going to click away. So they've lost me there, you know. What are your thoughts?
I think they need to improve their recommendation engine.
Yeah. That proves that shopping behavior is different for everyone.
Right. What other misunderstood strengths are there in e-commerce?
I think having an e-commerce store also can serve as, in a way, as a defensive strategy. So if all your competitors are online and they exist on comparison and review sites, for example, and you do not have a comparable front to serve, so you don't show up on comparison websites, you don't show up on review sites, your products are not searchable on these sites, it could be a very serious disadvantage, because that's how a lot of shoppers make decisions on what to buy now. So even if you don't want to put all your products online, at least put some of them, especially your star products, to tell, so that the comparison websites would be able to pick them up and make reviews about them.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm speaking to Chingyi Fu, CEO of Tricorsenity, and CK Wong, co-founder of E-commerce Milo. We're debunking e-commerce myths. More when we return on Resource Center, BFM 89.9. You're listening to Resource Center. I'm Maya Tan. Good afternoon. Here with me today is CK Wong of E-commerce Milo and Chingyi Fu of Tricorsenity. We're debunking e-commerce myths, and we've gone through a few last week and this week as well. E-commerce is not cheap or easy to enter. E-commerce is not universally understood automatically. E-commerce setup is often overlooked. E-commerce does not cannibalize or eat into your retail brick and mortar store. And there are a lot of misunderstood ideas about doing e-commerce, such as it's a price war or it's all about, you know, extending your catalog online. We've got two more myths to debunk. What's next?
The pricing and promo strategy ought to be different for online and offline.
Oh,
and
so people always assume it's the same.
Yeah, so if I run a promotion offline, I run the same promotion online, but they don't necessarily have to be the same. In fact, it would be good if they're different, so that you can actually use the strength of either one to push the sales on the other one.
Online exclusives and
things
like that.
Yes, so I think if you look at clothing retailers especially, they have online promos, or if you buy online within this set period of time, you get special discounts. So that encourages people to shop during a specific time. Maybe that helps with shipping and fulfillment.
What else?
I guess another one is maybe their loyalty programs, you know, their rewards, their redemptions. A lot of these features are not there, especially by retailers going online in Malaysia. And most of them are not ready. So I guess that, you know, you have to put yourself as, you know, in the shoes of the customers. You know, when I buy online, you know, when I buy offline, I get these rewards, let's say in points. But if I buy online, maybe I'm expecting the same thing as well. So I guess this loyalty program has to be there as well online, right? And back to the pricing, retailers, maybe when they start, they are very sensitive on pricing, right? They try to follow their existing brick and mortar pricing. You know, a lot of reasons, maybe, you know, sometimes they are controlling the team within the organization, they are worried about conflicts and again, right? So, you know, like Chingyi mentioned just now, it's good to have a different pricing strategy and just treat your brick and mortar store, your online store, as a different a new brick and mortar store. Because even, let's say, if you have a few outlets, right, let's say outlet 1 to 10, maybe outlet 1 can run different promotion with outlet 10, right? And for online also the same thing, you can run different kind of promotion to attract customers.
It's also kind of like being a retailer with different brands under your umbrella, and what you do with each brand. Say you have 4 or 5 apparel brands under your umbrella, what do you do with each of them in terms of promotions at different times, and how sometimes it could complement each other, right?
Yeah, and I think with e-commerce, you have the opportunity to actually follow your shopper around a lot more closely than a retail store. And then you can have very intimate understanding of the shopper's behavior if you implement those kind of algorithms or code, where you can actually see how the shopper behave, like, and then make analysis of the data and then translate that into promotional strategies as well. For example, you can take a look at what games does. So computer games are very, very good at this, right? So they introduce things like levels. So if you move to the next level, you get more diamonds per hour.
Or gamification.
Gamification, right? So that translated to e-commerce can be something like, if you browse my website for more than 20 minutes any given time, you are entitled to a voucher. maybe because they have done some study to say if a person shops for 20 minutes, they are likely to buy something. So right. then you
convert them.
To convert them into an actual shopper rather than just a window shopper.
Yeah.
Right. So there are lots of opportunities because there's way more data that we can get from online shoppers rather than shoppers in the store. Right?
Yes, and it's also easier to implement the execution of it. If you rely on a retail sales staff to follow the shopper around and capture this data, I think it's not possible. And neither is it possible to offer incentives to the shopper in a similar manner. But on the e-commerce side, you have the ability to monitor and then execute your promo strategy 24 hours, all the time, round the clock, any shopper.
Okay, so bottom line, myth number six is pricing and promo strategies for online and offline should be different. Number seven.
Again, doing e-commerce, doing online is very different from brick and mortars, very different from traditional way. And this is very obvious in terms of marketing, right? You know, imagine that if you set up an outlet in a shopping mall or let's say, you know, a physical shop somewhere, doing marketing is very different. Right, you know, let's say in shop, maybe you need to advertise in a traditional media. You know, you need to work together with the shopping mall management, you know, to arrange for A&P. But for e-commerce, for online, is totally different, right? Whereas you need to rely on new media, right? You need to rely on search engine, you need to rely on social media to drive traffic to your website.
Right. So, what are some best practices? You know, as far as say, looking at SEO, looking at advertising, looking at social media?
I guess doing online is all about traffic. Let's say you have your own branded store, right? If you don't have traffic, then basically there's no chance for you, right? Nobody coming to your store. You know, it's very different with the retail shop. You know, if you open up a retail shop, you got walk-ins, you got footfall, you know, things like that. But for online, you need to find a way to bring the traffic in, right? Bringing the traffic in is also not free. Basically, you need to invest into, you know, acquiring leads, acquiring traffic to your website. Hopefully, they become your customers. Yeah.
I think a strategy that seems to work quite well, maybe in our country or similar cultures, is word of mouth. So a lot of online retailers offer discounts if you share it with a friend. You know, so or you tweet about this and we'll give you the next 10% off in your next buy, that sort of thing. So that helps get word of mouth out. So if it's something that a friend shared it on Facebook or a friend tweeted about it, then I have a stronger likelihood to click on it to have a look at what was this thing that my friend just shared.
And a lot of it is still based on trial and error, right? It's up to you to experiment, see what works for you, for your target audience, how they respond. And again, a lot of new retailers would probably be reluctant to invest in outsourced help. But what's your view on that?
I think to some extent, getting outsourced help can be delayed if you have the internal resource to plan the strategy. But you still need to have the investment in advertisements. It's just that you're advertising differently. You're advertising online. You're spending on Google AdWords or Facebook advertising, or maybe you're getting bloggers to talk about your product, or you're actually paying some of these comparison websites to review your product so that they appear on the comparison chart. And then there's also the content marketing strategy, where some of the media portals actually write articles about certain products. You know, I'm sure you guys have seen those articles they write about which credit card is better in terms of, you know, travel or in terms of points. So I'm sure there's some benefit there where, you know, credit card companies are investing in some of this content in order to help the consumer make better decisions. And that's actually perhaps the first part of the battle, is to get the consumer at the point where they are evaluating and deciding which product to buy. You know, because if I want to buy a TV, most likely I'm going to get online and take a look at, should I buy a Sony TV or a Sharp TV? You know, why would people buy LG and so on? And then if I come to a site that has a table that tells me, you know, listing by model and type and then what by price and clarity or energy consumption, I would definitely look at that chart.
Yeah, and so you want to get on that chart.
Yes, you want to get on that chart.
Yeah. And you have to get creative about that.
Yes.
Anything else that you'd like to tell us about?
I think one of the biggest myths is traditional retail people, back to advertising. When they advertise online, right, this has become a myth for them because they cannot see the advertisement. Right, compared to traditional one. You know, let's say you advertise on newspaper, you advertise on radio, TV. You know, those people, they can see. Businessmen, they can see, oh, this is the advertisement. This is where my money goes to. They can see.
Yeah.
But when they advertise, let's say via Google, social media, and all those, they always confuse themselves and they cannot see the advertisement. They don't know where their money goes to. Yeah. I think this is more the myth they are facing right now. They are not confident to invest into online.
Right, because it's something sort of evolving at the moment, so it's hard to put their finger on it, I suppose.
Yeah. And perhaps they're not the target demographic, that's why the ad is not showing up for them.
Mm. Yeah, then they'll ask you, where is my ad?
So those are some of the questions that you get from clients.
I always get this, actually. And when you deliver the numbers to them, the reports and all those, it's just all numbers. Still, they cannot see the ads.
But I think if you're working with Google, for example, the analytics don't lie, right?
But still, even the report is provided, let's say, by Google, Facebook, or whoever, they still cannot see the ads. And they might not trust their investment. And to end on this also, in terms of advertising, be it offline or online, it's actually helping your offline retail as well. Right. I can see some retailers when they are putting on some budget for online advertising budget, and not only it helps the online store, it also helps the retail shop. I give you an example. Let's say, you know, I seen a campaign running on saying that, hey, you know, this mini cooker is only 30 ringgit today, and it's shown on an online advertisement. And for this particular retailer, a lot of their customers that actually drive to their offline shop trying to get this online exclusive deals in their offline shop.
Right.
So you know, if you think of this way, this is actually a good scenario to have, right? Whereas, you know, online can actually help to bring in not only traffic to your website, but also to your physical stores. Yeah.
I guess the most important thing to measure here is to see how much of whatever marketing activity has been conducted is converted into sales. Are you able to show that to retailers?
Yeah, for online advertising, is all very measurable, right? When you invest a certain amount of money, you actually get results in numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Right, numbers, it can be like impressions shown to the users. It can be clicks to the website. It can be also conversion in terms of sales. Let's say you invest 100 ringgit of advertising dollar, you might get 1,000 sales. Or $500 of sales. So all these are very measurable. And the good thing is also it helps, you know, in terms of your brand awareness, right? If you don't get the conversions today, you don't get the clicks today, but when people see their ads, they actually see your brand.
Okay. Well, thanks very much for being with us.
No problem. Thanks for having
us.
CK Wong, co-founder of E-commerce Milo, and Ching Yi Fu of Tricor Sanity. This has been Resource Center. I'm Maya Tan for BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.